I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News update for Wednesday, September 18th. Shuttles are replacing Red Line service today on a section of the line after an issue with a water main in Dorchester caused significant flooding near the Ashmont T station. It happened last night at Ashmont Street and Dorchester Avenue and led to about 5 to 6 inches of water rushing through the streets. Tom Bagley, spokesperson for the Boston Water and Sewer Commission, said the incident was not technically a water main break, but rather a failure in the pipe's elbow joint. Despite the flooding, most nearby businesses remained open. Crews worked through the night to address the flooding, which forced the shutdown of subway service on the Red Line between Ashmont and JFK UMass. T officials are deciding about train service by the hour, and free shuttle buses are replacing service between Ashmont and JFK UMass, while the power department continues to work on repairs. Residents have reported rusty water in the area, which Bagley said is not unusual given the circumstances. Crews are working to resolve the issue, and if necessary, may place affected customers on a temporary water bypass system to restore service. The flooding occurred at the intersection of Ashmont Street and Dorchester Avenue, where National Grid was conducting trench work. Now, the MBTA added more commuter rail cars on the tracks amid the latest Red Line shutdown. Red Line service between the Braintree and JFK UMass stops is currently suspended. The T has encouraged riders to take the Middleborough, Kingston, and Greenbush commuter rail lines instead. The T said they initially added more rail cars to those lines at the beginning of the shutdown. However, they said high demand caused them to add even more capacity. The T said the added cars will support increased ridership throughout the closure of the Braintree branch. Until September 29th, shuttle buses are replacing service between Braintree and North Quincy. After stopping at North Quincy, buses head to Ashmont, rerouting riders to the other Red Line branch. A teenage girl who passed away after a crash in Duxbury over the weekend struck a tree and had to be extricated from the wreckage. Officers responding to a report of a single car crash into a tree in the area of Harrison Street just before 12:30 a.m. on Saturday found a 17-year-old Pembroke girl trapped in her wrecked vehicle. The girl was flown to Mass General Hospital, where she died from her injuries Monday night. She has now been identified as Madison Straub, known as Maddie. A vigil for her will be held tonight at the PYBS Field Complex. State police are assisting Duxbury Police with an investigation into the cause of that crash. Well, it may be 2 years away, but the race for district attorney in Norfolk County is already heating up. Two candidates have thrown their hats into the ring to try and unseat Michael Morrissey of Quincy, who has faced criticism over the case against Karen Reed. Over the months, there have been continuous calls for Morrissey to step down as district attorney. Now, two people are vying to take his job in 2026. A former assistant district attorney in Suffolk County, Craig McClellan, says he's been practicing law for 20 years. He says he's upset with how the Reed and Sandra Birchmore cases were handled by the DA's office. McClellan says he's focused on transparency and an effort to bring back trust. And Juna Perkins, an attorney from Dedham with more than 30 years' experience as a prosecutor and litigator, is also running for Morrissey's position. Perkins, who has also served as an assistant district attorney and assistant attorney general, is calling for a reprofessionalization of the office and an unwavering commitment to do the job. Morrissey was first elected district attorney in 2010. It's unclear if he'll seek re-election in 2026. The South Shore YMCA in Quincy will present plans tonight to add a two-story, 11,000-square-foot addition to its existing building on Coddington Street in Quincy. The Y says the new space will be used for gym and office expansion. A public hearing about the proposal will be held by the Quincy Planning Board at 6 p.m. at Old City Hall. Also tonight, a public hearing will continue regarding plans for the rehabilitation of a two-family home right behind the Y on Newcomb Street. The proposal is for the addition of 14 apartments, making a total of 16 units with 16 parking spaces. The FBI and the U.S. Postal Service are investigating what they call suspicious letters that were sent to election officials in Massachusetts and at least five other states. Secretary of State Bill Galvin's office said an envelope was delivered to the John W. McCormick building at 1 Ashburton Place, where it was intercepted by the FBI. Investigators shared pictures of one of the envelopes, which they say have suspicious white powder inside. Officials said none of the packages appear to contain hazardous material. The envelopes were handwritten with Purple Heart stamps and have a return address for the, quote, United States Traitor Elimination Army, end quote. Similar incidents in Iowa, Kansas, Nebraska, Tennessee, Wyoming, and Oklahoma are under investigation. Authorities are working to figure out who's responsible for the letters, how many were sent, and a possible motive. The Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston is going to renovate the room at the center of one of the largest art heists in history. Back on March 18, 1990, 13 pieces of art worth more than $500 million were stolen from the museum. Six of the best-known works were taken from the Dutch Room. Among them were two Rembrandt paintings that were cut from their frames. Those frames remain empty on the walls in the Dutch Room to this day. The crime remains unsolved, and the museum says it's time to restore the room because, quote, time itself has faded much of the gallery's splendor, end quote. Project, which is expected to take more than 2 years, will include the restoration of paintings, frames, sculptures, and furniture in the Dutch Room, as well as the ceiling, tiles, and lighting. The frames left behind after the theft will also be restored. The museum says the gallery will stay open during the restoration to give visitors the unique opportunity to witness conservators at work. The museum is still offering a $10 million reward for any information that leads to the return of the stolen art. Several key figures from the night of the heist have died, including security guard Richard Abath, who passed away in February. Investigators said the thieves, who were disguised as Boston police officers, convinced Abath and the other security guard to let them into the museum, saying they were called there because of a disturbance. The guards were tied up as the art was stolen. There have been no arrests. Massachusetts is launching a statewide celebration marking the 250th anniversary of the American Revolution. During a kickoff event on the front steps of the State House yesterday, beside other state leaders and historical reenactors, Governor Maura Healey said that Massachusetts 250 will draw visitors from across the nation and world, resulting in a really significant boost for businesses. The Massachusetts 250 grant program awarded $1.5 million for 37 projects statewide, and Lieutenant Governor Kim Driscoll said there will be another round of funding in the future. Healey emphasized the importance of representing all voices in Massachusetts 250 programming, including those of indigenous, Black, Latino, and Asian communities. Every city and town of Massachusetts has revolutionary history, legends, and cultural traditions, according to Driscoll. Healey said the more people who get involved, the bigger the boost for the state. She encouraged folks to get fired up and find out more at massachusetts250.org. After a year of construction, the main entrance to the Boston Public Garden on Arlington Street is again open to the public. The Friends of the Public Garden held a ribbon-cutting ceremony yesterday celebrating the project's completion. A statement from the Friends of the Public Garden outlined the new upgrades and renovations to the park. They said the goal of the restoration project was to make the Arlington Street entrance more welcoming to people. The Arlington entrance had been closed since September of last year. Fences surrounded the entrance, including the George Washington statue and the boy and bird and small child fountains. The statement said construction on the two fountains now allows for more sustainable and conservation-focused water flow, while a new leveled plaza can let guests see the fountains close up. Other upgrades include redesigned granite around the fountains. Friends also said new are the benches and lighting to provide comfort and safety to park visitors. Restoration was one of three major projects in the public garden undertaken to celebrate the Friends of the Public Garden's 50th anniversary. Check of business news this morning. Stocks are mixed. The Dow is down 15 points. The Nasdaq up 35. The S&P added 1. Asian stocks also mixed as markets focus on prospects for the U.S. Federal Reserve's first cut to interest rates in more than 4 years. The dollar's down, the euro's up, oil at $70 a barrel. In sports, the Tampa Bay Rays beat the Red Sox in Florida last night 8-3. The series continues tonight at 6:50. The National Weather Service forecast for today, some morning clouds and fog at a high of 81 degrees. For tonight, cloudy, a low 53. Tomorrow, rain off and on throughout the day, high only 67. Friday, some rain, especially in the morning, with a high of 69, and maybe some light rain. Saturday, high 68. Out on the water, waves about a foot, wind out of the south at 5 knots, becomes east later today. High tide, 12:01 p.m. Sunrise, 6:27, sets at 6:47. A traffic note, the Four River Bridge scheduled to open Thursday at 6 a.m. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News Update for Wednesday, September 18th.